The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm
cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like Dude Friday ahead of Packers Texans. No Gabe Neitzel, no Jen Latta. I'm Alex Strofe in for them alongside the Packers Hall of Famer, the former tight end. Mark Chmura, who I typically intro as the great Mark Chmura. Not today. Choosing violence right off the rip.
What?
Called Chewy, I don't know, what was it, Joshy, 15 minutes ago?
Approximately.
He goes, Strofe, are you a toad? Immediately choosing violence on a Friday. I'm a toad and I'm damn proud of it, Chew. Good morning.
At least you admit it. Joshy still struggles with it.
Struggles.
You struggling over there, Joshy?
Joshy doesn't think he's a toad.
Yes, he does. He's got self-awareness. Joshy, you're a toad. You know it.
See, I have amazing powers, though. I don't know if you knew this.
I did.
Because I detoted Gabe, but it had to go somewhere else. And it's kind of like a Dementor. Was that? That was Harry Potter, right?
Sure was. Impressive. Good job.
Yeah, the Dementor was inside of Gabe, and I exercised it, but it has to go somewhere else. And it went to Gabe's Toady Buckness, because Gabe, and I said it, yes, was it yesterday, Josh?
Yes, it was.
Nickname shouldn't be Clouds, or maybe for the Packers it should be Clouds, but when it comes to the Bucks, it should be opposite Gabe. So whatever Gabe says when it comes to the Bucks, bet on the opposite.
Okay.
Because for the last 3 years, he has been wrong across the board when it comes to the
Bucks. But what goes into detoting, Chew? You mentioned an exorcism of sorts.
It's basically a beatdown.
Okay. Verbally, I assume? This is not a physical beatdown. Yeah.
No. Just a mental beatdown to exorcise the demons.
Sure.
I love impartiality. If you can't be impartial about things, I don't care what it is.
Oh, we're going to have a long show.
I kind of have no use for you.
Uh-oh. That's a good thing to tell me 4 minutes in when we're going to be talking Packers-Texans.
Well, I'm just saying, Alec, there's very few things in this world that are great.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
I would agree with you on that. The few things are great, yes.
What?
Very few things.
I'm interested in the things you would call great. Wine.
Yep. The blammer.
I don't think I've ever had great wine, Josh.
Ever? As a wine connoisseur?
I've had maybe three great meals in my lifetime. But that's it. I mean, how many meals have I eaten in 55 and a half years of life? Three? That's not a lot.
That is not a lot.
No.
How many have you guys had that are great?
Wait a minute. Why are you such an aficionado if you've only had three ever that are great? It seems like you're wasting your time.
No, because my bar is extremely high when it comes to food.
See, now this is what I was going to ask when it comes to the Packers and calling the toad. At what point does your lack of toaddom end up flipping where you are perennially negative? Like, where is the line between objective and not objective anymore, but in the other direction?
I think I'm right on it.
I think I am. You crunch the numbers and you've got it perfect?
In the middle when it comes to impartiality.
So the authority on all things Green Bay Packers is Mark Chmura. End of statement.
If you look through my glasses, yes. it's fair and balanced.
Your glasses are a little depressing, though.
No, because you guys are such toads.
Okay, Chewy, let me ask you this.
The line is closer to you in your mind, because you're such a toad, the line is closer
such
to
a toad now. Now I'm such a toad. Mm-hmm. He asked me 20 minutes ago if I was a toad to begin with. Now I am such a toad.
Hey, Chewy, Alex,
hold on.
When I asked you that question, I couldn't even get the whole thing out of my mouth before Josh, he said, yep.
Chewy,
I said, is Alex a tit? Is Alex a tit? And yep. I need to get towed out.
Chewy, he's such a toad that I am often the one trying to speak reason to him on his program, Mr. Relevant. You can watch on YouTube Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He, when they signed Narvison, he like celebrated and said, "Oh, we
they
got a kicker."
I thought they got a kicker. Okay, yeah. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Chewy, he's so toady that I have to go, "Oh, hold on, buddy."
Yeah, that's true. While that's true,
there was a time, and this is probably Josh. How long have you worked here?
I mean, I've worked here about 10 years. I've worked with you just over a year.
Okay, do you remember Gabe when he was on with Homer? And I almost went to violence here, I'm going to admit. But every day, Gabe would go on his show with Homer and say, 280 days till the Packers win the Super Bowl. I wanted to beat him. It became so annoying. It became so annoying because they weren't. They weren't. See, so I have to exercise the demons here to now where he looks at, he's not quite on my line. I think I moved him a little too far to the negative, and I'm trying to bring him back.
Yeah.
But the Bucks towed them. It just fights it. It won't let it turn.
Well, I got good news, Chew. I don't think you're capable of beating me down that way because there are only 114 days until the Packers win the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah, but you have a reason for being a toad, which is fine.
What does that mean? Does that mean Gabe doesn't have a reason?
No. Because there's a line of demarcation from Green Bay that it's acceptable to be a toad.
Great.
You're from Green Bay, right?
I am. That's correct.
So you can be a toad. That's
all right.
The line is probably Appleton.
Oh, okay. So we're drawing physical lines on I-43 or I-41 or whatever you're looking at. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So you're fine. You're fine being a toad.
All right,
Gabe living in Horicon, which is probably about 45 minutes south of Appleton, right? If I got my geography right.
Further than that, I think, but I could be wrong.
But Gabe has
He's past the line of demarcation. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, Chewy, you were really excited this morning about your new backdrop, which you can see on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy video stream on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and Twitter. You typically had like a beach background for the prior several years. Now we have moved over to, it looks like a locker room background.
It is.
Now the issue I'm having with the background behind you, Chew, is one of those lockers is open and it is about half the size of your head.
I know. And here's the whole reasoning behind the new backdrop.
Uh-oh.
I thought my face was getting a little fat.
Okay.
So I figured if you go with a black backdrop, you know how you wear black to make yourself look thinner.
Sure.
I thought it would help, you know, maybe make my face a little thinner, but it didn't really work.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did I ruin that for you by immediately calling to attention the fact that your face is double the size of each locker?
See, my head is smaller than people think.
Okay, but we just said it was getting bigger, so now I'm confused on where you actually value the size of your head.
Well, everyone thinks I have a big head. And I don't.
Do you know your hat size?
Yes, it's 7 5/8, which is the most normal for anyone in the world.
It's a little bit bigger. 7 3/8 is the normal.
I don't think so.
I'm an expert.
He worked at Lids.
I worked at Lids in Green Bay for 3.5 years.
I don't care.
I'm the
if
expert.
If you go in the locker room, and everything revolves around football, 85% of the players wear 7 5/8.
Yes, but NFL players are generally larger than the regular population.
And I'm large.
Yes,
so my head is normal.
No, and you have a big head. And that's okay.
I don't have a big head.
We love you.
No,
the way
I don't
you
have
are.
A big head.
Let's also be honest. Are the people in NFL locker rooms the people to be picking here, especially with what we know about when head sizes grow? Barry Bonds famously had his head size grow a lot. Maybe that's not the right people to be drawing from. I'm not accusing you of that, but I'm sure some of your teammates were doing some of those things.
Joshy, what's my acronym in dealing with the normal world? Or the you people?
You people.
I call them NARPs.
Oh, NARPs.
No, I call NARPs. What does NARP stand for again?
Non-athletic regular people.
There you go. So you're a NARP. Alex, you're a NARP.
Well, 100%. Yeah. I didn't get here based on my athletic ability. That's for damn sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying based upon the locker room, because the world revolves around the locker room.
No, it doesn't.
I am normal.
You've figured that out by now. The world does not revolve around the locker room.
It yeah, should, it though, in his mind, right?
Well, that's why he bought the new backdrop.
Yeah, so are you trying to give off the vibe that you're kind of just there, you know, after a game, after practice, just kind of spewing your football knowledge to the rest of us?
He's just getting his ankles taped before the show now.
Or was it simply the slimming portion?
Let me just say this.
Say it, brother.
Okay. When I played and I retired, the biggest shock to me in going out to the normal world was A, how small people are. No, really, I'm telling you how small people are.
I believe you.
And how sensitive people are. Wow. Because I went through this transition period of like you guys been in locker rooms, right?
Yeah, and when I go into a locker room, I can't believe how big everyone is.
I know, but in an NFL locker room, and I'm sure in an NBA locker room, you have to be thick-skinned. You have to be. And you have to be able to take it, because if you can't take it, guys are just going to keep picking and picking and picking and picking. So then I transitioned to the real world, and I was ticking people off. I was getting them upset. I'm just making fun of you. And they'd get all sensitive, and I'm like, so to answer your question, boys, yes, the world does revolve around the locker room.
Do you think
your world? Yeah.
Do you think people progressively have gotten more sensitive?
Yes. Oh.
I mean, come on, yes. Strope. What kind of question?
Yes.
Who are you talking to?
Do you have
here?
Siblings? Do you have siblings?
I do.
Alex,
yes.
Do you have?
I do.
Sisters, brothers.
I have two older brothers.
Oh, so you're kind of tough.
I mean, I got my ass kicked growing up. If that answers your question.
Which you should.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Brothers are four.
Yeah.
Like my youngest is. A girl.
Okay.
And she's tougher than woodpecker lips. You don't want to mess with her.
That can't be a phrase. Tougher than
you
woodpecker.
You don't want to mess with her. She is tough. And the reason she's tough is because she has four older brothers.
Yeah. Okay.
No, she's tough.
I mean, I believe you.
yeah.
He's hung up on woodpecker lips.
I'm still hung up on woodpecker lips. Yeah.
You never heard that term?
Tougher than woodpecker lips.
Do you know how tough woodpecker lips are?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't their beak the tough part?
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't really have lips, though. They're birds. They have a beak.
Well, if a chicken had lips, it could whistle.
All right. I'm not having this conversation any further. Mark Chmura is at his locker with his new backdrop, which you can see live on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream.
Alex, can I ask you one question?
Yeah, before we get
two
to Jason
questions,
Wilde.
Actually. Two questions.
Hey, if you want to ask questions. Three, that's fine. Before we get to Jason Wilde coming up next. Two. Go ahead, Joe.
When did you learn you were doing this show? And when you did, do you go, oh, crap?
Okay, so that was more of a two-part question than it was two different questions. Did I find out? Believe it or not, you, I actually asked to work with you today.
Why would you do that?
I requested the shift. Because you're such a Neanderthal that you fascinate me. And
see, that doesn't bother me at all. That doesn't. If you said that to Ashton, he would probably go into the bathroom and wipe some tears away.
You're probably right.
I'm fine with it.
No, Ashy's soft.
I'm fine with it.
You're not. And neither is Joshy. So I feel like we can, we can bust each other's chops up pretty good this morning. And I think that's a good way to ride high into the weekend. So no, it was not crap moment at all. I actually asked on for the shift.
All right.
You cool with that, though?
Let's hope.
Chewy, let's make him regret it.
Hopefully don't regret it in the next 2 hours. But,
you and I, we can do this. You
know. Oh, I mean, the last time the three of us hung out on a Friday morning, I left with a headache. And I anticipate that happening again.
Why, did you get a little saucy last night?
No. I said I left with a headache. No, I don't have a headache right now.
Oh, okay.
I had a few cocktails last night. Went out to a nice dinner. Gratuity added to the check. So yeah,
we're going to talk to that. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay. We can do that. We can do that. All right. Jason Wilde joins us next. We're catching up on all things green and gold ahead of Packers-Texans. Coming up Sunday at Lambeau Field. Biggest test of the season for the Packers. Jason Wilde joins us to break it down. Coming up next, Alex Strope, Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio with you. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Friday morning.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Talking totisms, head sizes, and more on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this Friday morning. Alex Struve, Mark Chmura hanging out with you. Excited to be joined now by the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. You hear him each and every weekday morning from 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch. The great Jason Wilde joins us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
I'm always intrigued by this iteration of a Dude Friday. So great to be with you.
It is quite the iteration, but Chewy chose violence right off the rip. He threw me under the bus, so I'm a little offended and hurt and torn up, Chew.
Violence? How did I choose violence? I didn't.
Mike Williams meets Alex Stroll.
Yeah, we're both on the injury report from injuries sustained by being thrown under the bus.
Jason, on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird is the locker room?
I don't think it's weird. Well, here's the thing, Chew, and look, I can't, as you well know, and I'm having been in there in that stupid corner locker of yours. I like when we're in there, you know, it's 45 minutes a day, and it certainly there are instances where you can sense the vibe, whether it's good or bad. The time we're in there, like this week, I've seen Romeo. You know, go into the shower, come out, get dressed, and get out of there. Like, he does not want to linger in case we want to talk to him. But is it weird when we're not in there? I don't know how much time he spends in there, right? Like, maybe that's how he always is. That could be just because, you know, from my experience with him before this whole thing, he was not exactly, you know, the guy that sat in his locker for all 45 minutes making sure he was available for anyone who had questions. So, I can't answer that intelligently, which is the case with a lot of questions I get asked, of course, but I don't think that it's like super weird.
But it was weirder back in the day, right? Because you were in there for a while, right? Sometimes
yeah,
an hour and a half.
We had much better access. Yes. Well, what we used to do, and I still like, I don't need this much access because quite frankly, I got stuff to do and I got kids. But
yeah.
We used to actually come. We had access before, either before practice, which was some of the days of the week, and then again after practice, which was great. Or my favorite was when the afternoon session after practice, like Holmgren would have you guys out there for longer than you were supposed to be, or meetings were moved up. We would stay in there during your meeting and still be there when you guys came back. Which I can't imagine how happy you were to see us, but it was great. I'm not gonna lie, like that I loved because it allowed us, you know, especially since like no disrespect to the TV folks, but a lot of times they'd be long gone going to get ready for their newscasts, and so it'd just be, you know, Tom Silverstein and Pete Doherty and Dubofsky and me, all the old heads that were in there, and you guys had a level of trust with us that would allow us to have conversations that just don't happen as frequently now, and that I do miss. But to answer your question, remember, the guy who stood up for Romeo the most, and look, I don't think it's been in any way a distraction this week, but Christian Watson did say, and I quote, it's going to be weird for a while. So I don't think it's preventing them from doing their work. I think there's probably still a little bit of I still don't understand this. And is this totally done? I would think that that's some of the thought process that the wide receivers have down deep. And look, yesterday, Jason Vrabel, he's still technically he's the passing game coordinator, but he still spends most of his time with the wide receivers. Like he even kind of acknowledged he was asked a question about managing egos, and he gave only more credence to the idea that this was not a mental health crisis per se, but more of a, I don't like my role situation.
Interesting. That's that situation is still one I can't wrap my head around. Because of the unknowns, I think. But anyway, Jason Wilder with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do want to stick with the wide receivers, Jason, because I think we saw a good example last week against Arizona of how good this offense can be when all four of those guys are healthy and on the field. How big of a role do you think the four of those young receivers play against a pretty solid Houston defense and a Houston team overall? Obviously, they're much happier. Everybody's healthier this week maybe than opposed to last week.
Yeah, and look, this is, I think they're the third-ranked pass defense in the league. I mean, this D'Amico Ryans has a really good, he's a really good coach. LaFleur was talking about him yesterday because LaFleur started out in the NFL. He got his big break with Houston under Gary Kubiak, and it was when Robert Saleh convinced Kubiak to let him come in as the quality control guy. And that's how he got into the league. And D'Amico Ryans was a player on that team. And he talked about how, you know, this is a guy that he was a captain, he was a leader, you could see he was going to be a coach, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he obviously had a lot of success as a defensive coordinator. This is a very good defense. It's very good at getting pressure. It's got two studs coming off the edge. So I do think it's a challenge. Now, you know, three of those four wide receivers are dinged up in one way or another. I think all of them are going to play, but we saw Wicks leave with the shoulder injury. We saw Reed leave and come back with the ankle injury. And we know that Watson came back for his first action from his ankle injury against Minnesota. So, you know, those guys aren't 100%, but to your point, I mean, this is why you are so grateful if you are the Packers that you have this situation. And yeah, maybe sometimes guys are not real happy about their number of targets, but when you have a situation where Wicks goes out, for example, you're nowhere near being out of your four wide receiver package if that's what you want to run, because you feel really, really good about Bo Melton, who's your sixth, and you still or fifth. You can and you like your sixth in Malik Willis. So this is, you know, they don't have a Devontae Adams yet, although I would say that, you know, Jaden Reed is the one who's heading that direction. But they really do have genuine depth that even if one guy gets nicked up and can't finish the game, they're not out of anything. Whereas in Chewy's day, you know, Terry Mickens had his moments, but like you wanted him running down as a flyer on punt coverage. You did not want him playing 50 snaps of offense.
Jason, I see Brandon McManus didn't practice yesterday. Why?
Well, so they kick on an every other day basis. So he didn't kick yesterday. He kicked on Tuesday for his tryout. He kicked on Wednesday in practice. Didn't kick yesterday. Kicks today. Won't kick Saturday. Will kick Sunday in the game. Now, I did think, and again, he's a 10-year vet. He obviously has his approach. But the thing that Bisaccia said yesterday, I think it was Spoon that asked him this, he's not going to kick in Lambeau, which I'm like, and I didn't follow up because it was early on in a very long answer from Bisaccia, but like Lambeau, it's not like the Vikings who have their practice facility in the suburbs and then play at US Bank Stadium, which is a dome anyway, downtown. Like you can walk out of your locker room and into Lambeau Field. Why would you not want to at least kick in there? His explanation was that he's kicked in there before. Okay, well, I don't know when the last time, I have to go back and look the last time that he did, but I don't know. I didn't understand that part of it. But again, I just think that they're happy to have a veteran and to feel like they can not have to worry and not have to adjust their thought process on fourth and three from the 38-yard line. Now, I do want to add this. You know, I pointed out, this is one of my favorite moments of the year so far because I think Rich loves to play the game with us. I said, you know, what are you as a special teams coordinator aiming for as a percentage on 50-yard-plus field goals? I said, because McManus is like 54.2% for his career. And Rich says, did you look up what he was under 50? I said, yes, I did. It was 90.3, which it actually is 90.8, so I shortchanged him a little bit. But Rich was like, I think he was surprised that I had that number ready. And he wanted, and his point was basically that this league, you win in this league from 50 and in. And I kind of, I don't know if I, like, obviously he's a special teams coordinator, he should know. But, like, I feel like there's plenty of instances where you need a guy that's got at least a higher percentage than basically 50-50 on 50-yard field goals. Like, that's just my feeling. And so having watched Mason Crosby, you know, kick a 51-yard field goal twice to beat Dallas in the 16 playoffs to go to the NFC title game, I just feel like I'm really eager to see what McManus does, because I have no doubt that he's going to be more consistent than Narveson. But how much more consistent? I just think we have to be careful to think that this guy is the absolute resolution to this whole issue.
Well, it's a Band-Aid for sure. Probably a rest of season Band-Aid. But hey, this will make you feel better, Jason and Chew, about him not kicking in Lambeau Field this week. The last time Brandon McManus kicked at Lambeau Field, September 22nd, 2019, over 5 years ago, as a member of the Denver Broncos. In that game, which the Packers won, McManus made a 30-yard field goal and went 1 of 2 for extra points. He missed an extra point the last time he played at Lambeau Field. So there
Jason,
you go.
I think the grounds crew for the Packers has more power than you think. Because me and Bryce Pop went out on the field one time, like you said, because it was right there. Mm-hmm. And the grounds crew came down and chewed us out. And we're like, what the hell? It's grass. It'll grow back.
Yeah,
I think they have more power than you think.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. I love Alan Johnson. He's a terrific guy. He is very, very particular about his baby, the field. Bisacci also said that he felt like they had the same grass at the practice field that they have at Lambeau, so they don't need to do that. Again, I understand that you want to keep the field pristine, but if your kicker is going to have a 51-yard field goal, and if he apparently he didn't want to, but if he did, if he wanted to kick some in Lambeau Field, why the hell do we have the grass field to begin with? Mm-hmm. It's for the football team to play on. So if I would certainly hope that the grounds crew would not prevent a player from working on the field on which he needs to play on Sunday.
Jason, before we let you go, rumors have it, sources tell me, that coming up on Wilde and Touch from 9 to noon, we are going to hear an exclusive one-on-one with one Jason Wilde and the Packers quarterback Jordan Love. What is your favorite takeaway from that conversation that you're willing to share with us ahead of debuting it on Wilde and Touch later this morning?
All right. Well, first of all, it's great to have, because I hate the fact that there are people out there that think that I am anti-Jordan Love because I was Rodgers' guy. I absolutely hate that. And Jordan and I have a great working relationship. I mean, he's not coming and playing hide-and-seek with the girls or anything like that, but he and I have a really good relationship. And what I appreciate about him, which he doesn't, do for everybody, is if he has a minute and I have a question, he has always done that. Like, Chu, you were that's one of the few things that I think I do okay as a reporter, is that I command enough respect that if I have a question, even the big time guys will stop. Right. And so yesterday, I really am fascinated by how he's kind of, and Stroph, I think we talked about this on our little show, like I like to call it, instead of using my name, about how he's kind of pushing the boundaries and pushing the envelope now as a second year starter to see what is he capable of. And not always taking the check down, even if that's the easy play. And so I wanted to ask him about that. And so that's it's recorded on my iPhone. Joshy did an amazing job trying to clean it up. I don't know how great of a listen it will be, but I think the highlight was the fact that I opened by saying that, if I think of you as an artist, are you able to be more creative, or is it less paint by numbers now than it was last year? And he says, paint by numbers?
And really? What the hell?
I had to explain the concept of paint by numbers awesome. To him. which was a reminder of how freaking old I am.
Do they not make those anymore?
I guess not. I was like, oh my god, I look like a complete idiot now. Yeah. Like you get that too, right? Because you're old.
Yes,
like
totally.
Me.
Yes.
Apparently the kids never had paint by numbers sets anymore.
Huh. Interesting. I know what that is. Strange. All right. Well, good stuff. Jason, we'll be looking forward to hearing your Joshy DiMaggio edited conversation with Jordan Love later this morning on Wildy and Touch. Appreciate the time, brother.
We are lucky to have Joshy to clean up everything we do. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Joshy, Jason's producer is Jesse Nelson.
Yeah.
Wildy and Touch. How did you get roped into this?
We have a group message for all the people who help out on Wildy and Touch.
Sure.
And I incorrectly assumed that Jesse Nelson was off on Friday. And I wasn't sure who was filling in, and I said, I have some time here. I can, you know, run it through some of the noise reducers. Jesse Nelson does work today, so that was... I probably wouldn't have and would have just said, Jesse, do it, but also I want to help out Jason, and, you know, not so much Jesse, but Jason I like and want to help.
Want to make the Jordan Love interview sound good. So.
The more you can do. More you can... Like, Ashton didn't do crap. He worked from 7 to 9, and that was it.
And then he got promoted.
Yeah.
I'm doing it all wrong.
Yeah, Joshy.
Work less.
Yeah.
Work less.
Joshy is a starting pitcher. He's a relief pitcher. You know, Ashton's pitch count was like 12. Oh, I'm at 12.
Gotta go.
He was on the heater program.
Oh, that's too good. The heater program. That's so good. Alex Trump, Mark Chimura, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you on this Friday morning. We'll continue to dive into Packers Texans, but do want to bring up the Devontae Adams to New York thing coming up next, because our guy Craig Karmazin, the host of Sunday Karma, joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
Friday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Strope, Chewy hanging out with you. Joshy DiMaggio running the show. Craig Karmazin presented by Landworks Landscape Services here on your Friday morning. Craig, nothing like getting the old band back together, right? The Rolling Stones, Oasis, and now Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams on the New York Jets.
I thought you were talking Chew and Craig.
Chew and Craig, too. That's a good point.
Yes.
That's a good point. But Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Al Lazard, all out in New York. It's hard not to keep an eye on that team, Craig.
I agree. And I don't think anyone's running away with things in the AFC. So, sure. I think the Jets are still in the mix.
Do you?
You think they're better than Buffalo?
I don't think they're better than Buffalo, but I think they're still in the mix. I really like Buffalo's addition of Amari Cooper a lot. I mean, I think when you look at – I think Devontae Adams is the better player, but – in terms of more impactful addition, I think it's probably Amari Cooper.
Yeah, but I asked Adam Schefter this week if Cleveland is throwing up the white flag because they're 1-5 and getting rid of Cooper, and he said Cooper's been on the trading block for a while there. So how excited could you be about a guy that is getting out of town?
I think he's... His hands are unbelievable, and he's a great receiver. I mean, so I think he's perfect for the Bills, right? I mean, they needed a number one, an experienced guy, but they didn't want someone who ego-wise needed the ball all the time. So I think he's the perfect fit for the Bills.
Yeah, when you go from Deshaun to Josh, it's pretty easy upgrade.
Yeah. Staying in Cleveland, Craig, a two-part question here. Do you think Detroit is going to trade for a very good defensive end, and is Miles Garrett possibly one of those players? Because you're dialed into Cleveland more than we are.
Yeah, I like how you talk to Adam Schefter and then you ask me these questions. That's a real good alternative. Yeah, like from talking to sources throughout the league.
Craig, Detroit, who's in their window is wide open, right?
I
agree.
You think
they're just going to go move forward with what they have when they lose their best player on the team?
I think they could try to add someone, but like the idea of getting a Myles Garrett or someone who is a long-term guy, like you know that's not like a rental guy, right? Like if you say like there's someone who's old and has 1 year left, like if you told me like Khalil Mack or something, that would make sense to me. I don't think you can afford to the assets or the salary long-term. You know, these aren't rental guys. Like when you're talking about Max Crosby or Myles Garrett, these are guys who are like maybe but they're like pretty much right there, like is like the top five or six guys in the league. Like, oh yeah, just add Joey Bosa or his brother.
Yeah, but hold on, Craig. But because Joshy brought it up in our meeting that, well, why couldn't Green Bay go out and get that type of player? The reason is because they paid Rashawn Gary to be that player. You can't have that much money in two defensive ends. Aiden Hutchinson's on his rookie deal. He's on his rookie
deal
and will be for another 2 years.
No.
Sure, and then you move on?
No, Hutchinson won't be on for another 2 years. They're going to pay him a year from – like they're going to pay him soon.
They're going to give him the fifth-year option. So if they did trade for a high-priced player, they would have him for the remainder of this season and next season, and then
move on. Don't they extend him before the fifth-year option? Like, I think he gets extended with a bigger deal before the fifth-year option.
Which would be in 2 years.
Which would be after this year. Right after next year? After next year. But
I think you're crazy to think that Detroit's going to move forward with just, well, this is the cards we've been dealt. We'll just
They add someone, but I don't think it's the level that you're saying. I think it's, like I said, it's a Khalil Mack, or it's someone who, you know, still can be an impactful pass rusher, but not someone who's, you know, peak of their career.
Someone to the caliber of a Montez Sweat, which Chicago went out and got last year?
He's too good also. Nope, he's too good also.
I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Yeah. We'll see. I think you're crazy.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be that caliber player, but not at the peak of their career. Someone on the downside of their career who's looking for a championship, who they could get for, you know, less time, and they don't have to give up as much for.
Who is the most feared team in the NFC North right now? Is it still Detroit, despite losing Aiden Hutchinson in your mind, Craig?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that offense right now is unstoppable. Like, look at Goff's numbers over multiple games. Like, the guy, like, goes, like, 18 of 18 for, like, 280 yards and, like, catches a touchdown. Yeah. And Montgomery has a touchdown in every game, but I don't even know if he's their best running back. Like, there's two offenses in the league right now that really scare you, right? I mean, when you look at them, and maybe...
Who?
The Lions and the Ravens.
You're crazy. If you guys are sleeping on San Francisco,
I'm saying offenses that scare you. You think that's an? I said there's two offenses that scare you.
I would agree with Craig. I would put both of those above San Francisco as it stands right now, especially with no CMC.
How about in a month?
That's a different conversation. Depends how McCaffrey returns.
Where's Minnesota? Where's Minnesota?
Yeah, I believe Minnesota's a playoff team. I don't think Darnold is as good as he's been playing through the first 6 weeks. I mean, the Packers are higher
on the toadiness.
Toadiness, but I think objectively Green Bay is a scarier team league-wide than Minnesota is, despite being undefeated.
I'm with
Trophy
there. They
smoked them at home, Alex.
I understand that.
28-0.
Right, it was 28-0, and they still lost by 2 points.
Do you think Jordan? No. I don't. The losing by 2 points, that's toadiness, because that was.
Craig.
But the Jordan Love that we saw last week is in a rhythm and is very different than a guy coming off, you know, not having played preseason and then being hurt, right?
Like, and then missed 2 weeks.
I don't think you could take the mistake he made against the Vikings and think he's going to make those 10 weeks from now.
Craig, let me help Alex here, okay? Because I feel it's hard
it's not gonna work, but good luck.
A Green Bay guy. But here's where I want to help you. Because if the script was flipped and Green Bay was up 28-0 and then they won by 2, you'd say, oh, well, they were in prevent. You know, what do you expect? They moved down the field. You know, we had them beat. That's exactly what you would say. But the toad in you thinks it's a 2-point game.
You know what? I hate to admit this out loud. You got me there. Yeah, you're totally right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when are we going to start buying into Minnesota? If Minnesota beats Detroit,
I think they're a playoff team.
10 this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I might come back Monday and say, all right, Chewy was right. They might be for real. But I just
I don't think Detroit seems like they're on another level. I think even if they beat them in the playoffs, I'm not going to pick the Vikings to go to the NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vikings can beat the Lions here, and the Vikings can be a playoff team, and the Vikings can, you know, can be in good shape. I don't think they end up with the bye, and I don't think I pick them for the NFC Championship, almost no matter how good they do because of what Strophy said. I don't think Sam Darnold in that big spot is winning that big postseason game. And that's, again, not a knock on them as a playoff team. I just don't think they become that elite team.
So Craig, are they the Brewers?
Are they the Brewers of the NFL? Are they the Brewers of the NFL this year?
Oh,
that's painful.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Why you got to do that? Ouch.
I'm just saying.
No one was giving Minnesota a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying that a team that has a limited ceiling, but a team that's a really good team, I think that's a fair comparison. But I think in baseball, again, like, you know, I don't know. This year, I think we're seeing if it's Yankees, Dodgers, you see the two best teams make it. But in baseball, that doesn't happen. Baseball, like, it can be random. It just wasn't this year. And I don't want to talk about the Brewers right now. It's sad to me still.
Yeah, I'm with you. I haven't been able to watch baseball. It's still heartbreaking.
No, yesterday's was so good.
Didn't watch it.
That Guardians-Yankees game was unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw the Guardians walk off. Grow up.
No. They're in a great position
on
to have the same kind of year next year.
They're in a great position on the couch?
This was a step.
No, this was a step.
Yes.
This was a step, and it was like the Packers last year.
They did the same thing they did the year before.
No.
It's a better team, I agree, but that's why it's that much more heartbreaking.
To win 93 games.
And losing the wild card.
To win 93 games with that team is unbelievable and puts them in position where even if next year they win 88 or 90 games, like, this team is going to, you know, I think we all think this is a postseason team next year.
I think that's a pretty good feeling to have. I think it was much more painful when the Bucks, who were favored to win it all, lose in the first round of the playoffs than the Brewers winning 93 games and losing in the first round. That was painful. This is a step.
I don't know, man. This feels like it's right up there with the Brandon Bostic onside kick, that Game 3 loss to the Mets.
No way.
They had that thing in the bag.
When you have your closer in and your equations work, yes, the sudden ending of it, but not the fact that they lost in the first round. It's the fact of how they lost.
Yeah, right.
It was so painful.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Craig, before we get you out of here, I got to ask you, you know, because it seems like this is an annual headline with Giannis in some regard. Yesterday in the New York Times, the Sam Amick quote, yeah, if we don't win a championship, I might get traded. This is the job we live. This is the world we're living in. It's everybody. At any given moment, if you don't succeed, that might be it for us. If you don't do a good enough job, you're out. End quote from Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about championship expectations and his longevity in Milwaukee. What do you make of that quote yesterday in the New York Times?
I think it's the same thing I make of the quote in the New York Times every year.
Yeah, right.
Which is, like, the actions of Giannis are what we see every year. And I think his words are always meaningful to him. And he says what he really feels. And Giannis has put Milwaukee first, always. And he has transformed this franchise. And this is a beyond exciting year. So if this gets us talking about Bucks earlier, then that's awesome. And the Bucks are so below the radar this year for how good they are that this is the kind of year that it seems like they do more when they're below the radar.
Five
Greg,
days.
You know where they love him?
Everywhere.
In Greece.
That is a hot take.
Breaking news.
I just got back from Greece. They love him over there. They should. It's kind of nice.
Were you surprised by that?
As much as they love him, yeah.
He was the flag bearer for Greece in the Olympics.
I know that.
That's like saying they love LeBron James in the United States.
Not as much.
No, I think they love
Greece loves
Giannis.
Giannis
is more.
No, yeah. True.
Yes.
Like saying they love more. LeBron in Akron, Ohio. Would that be more an adequate comparison?
He left the Cavs, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I attempted. It didn't work. It is what it is. Craig, appreciate the time as always, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Karmazin, you can hear him. Sunday Karma. 10 to noon on weekends where we don't take over on Green Bay Game Day, which we will once again this weekend ahead of Packers-Texans
Chewy.
Beginning at 9 a.m. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What do you make of Strofe using brother with Craig?
I know. He's a chameleon. He's Brian Noble. He's the Brian Noble of radio. That's what we're going to call. That's what we used to call Brian Noble in the locker room. The chameleon. Yes.
What did
do
I?
We have, do, I,
you're not.
Do we still have ESPN
status with Craig?
Well, I'm brother. That's not a big status to achieve.
Yeah, that is. That's
you're out there.
I've called Chewy brother multiple times.
Joshy, do we still have ESPN Deportes? Because Alex on there would be hola, hey, qué pasó.
I did take 4 years of Spanish in high school.
You're the chameleon. That's your new nickname.
I don't know how I feel about that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
He's calling you basically
locker room?
A fraud.
In an NFL locker room, in an NFL locker room, you wouldn't have a problem with it, but you are a narc.
Grow a backbone and say what you want to say. Am I a fraud?
I wouldn't call you a fraud. I would call you misguided.
Misguided in what regard?
Your glasses. They're just green and gold, and you can't see. You have no peripheral vision. But it's fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. God loves a toad.
But you're making it sound like there's something wrong with that, in all fairness.
Well, outside your circle, yes, there is.
We'll keep talking Packers, Texans, and it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy hanging out with you on a Friday morning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry.
Hey, Weekly Pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions as well. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District, H-E-A-R District, now. Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Friday morning. I'm Alex Strofe in for Gabe and Jen. Chewy with me as well. Joshy DiMaggio running the show for us. Chewy, this is now 2 days in a row you've been blown away by the fact that Giannis is loved in Greece. Is this just your way of bragging that you went to Greece for a couple weeks?
No, that's a good pop right there. That's fair.
Thank you.
That's fair. But no, I mean, they just, everywhere you go, rightfully so, but I don't know. I don't even think there's anyone here in America that rises to the level that he does in Greece.
No.
Tom Brady? No.
There's nobody.
There's
nobody.
You need to sort of close in and localize it more, because how many Greeks do you know on an international superstar scale?
One.
And I don't think we're just being myopic in that it's a fairly small nation that doesn't have a whole lot of international stars. It would be as if like a homegrown Milwaukee kid ended up on the Bucks and was one of the best players in the world. He would be the biggest thing here.
Yeah. I was big in Poland when I played. big as Giannis, but.
No, that's probably pretty comparable, actually, yeah. You and Giannis, two peas in a pod.
Were they able to show you numbers on Chimura jerseys sold in Poland?
No, but I would get some mail.
I bet the number was higher than zero.
It was. Okay. Wait, not much. But
you would get Polish mail from people?
Oh yeah. 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 Like when I'd go to the north end of Chicago. Because there's great Polish food there.
The Polish village, isn't there?
Sure.
I was kinda known. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Polish legend.
He's a big deal. Yeah, Polish legend Mark Chimura with me for another hour. Oh, man. Magic Elixirs making moves. Packers-Texans preview all still ahead in the 8 o'clock hour. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.